At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. A podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad.
Yeah, Ingram's in his face. I don't blame him.
It didn't go after the basketball, and Brandon Ingram's trying to protect.
It's a joke,
man. Brandon Ingram's upset.
I'd be upset, too.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram's upset because Brandon Ingram's saying, look, man, that ain't basketball.
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I am Joe Cardosi, joined by the sleepless Jim Eichenhofer. Jim, you know, I woke up screaming today, but not the normal way. I woke up screaming today because I'm enthused in a weird way. You know, I think a lot of people were bummed out about that loss, myself included. It didn't feel good going home last night. But, you know, I stopped checking the tweets after a certain point of just darkness.
Smart.
And you know, as I thought about the circumstances the Pelicans faced and all the adversity they had to deal with and all of the BS from one certain player they had to overcome and basically become zen about, I just feel like it's not a shameful result. I don't know. Today, I feel all right.
Yes, Joe. I think in the hour or so or two or however long it took you and I and everyone else to go to sleep after that game,
yeah. There
was plenty of reason to be angry. I'm hoping to not bring too much of that anger to the podcast today, but it might happen. I can't promise anything. But I think you're right in terms of how you described it. You wake up this morning, maybe you're still a little upset by the way that the game unfolded. And some of the shenanigans and hijinks that we saw during the second quarter in particular.
Yes.
But, I mean, lots you take a step back this morning and you realize that they're 2-1 on the road trip.
Yeah.
And that they're still in good position. I mean, the ball's in their court as far as determining where they finish in the Western Conference seeding, their ability to move up, that kind of thing. There were a lot of good things that happened, especially in the first half,
yeah.
Obviously. But overall, it's a loss. And it was, not to try to pretend that it wasn't important. I mean, it was an important loss in terms of...
Yeah, I'm not trying to shake my pom-poms like, hey, don't worry about it. But, you know, I'm trying to be reasonable.
They had an opportunity on the table there that they weren't able to take advantage. I think if they won that game, you'd be really looking at, man... I mean, they would have been in sixth place. You'd be looking at that they have a really good chance to not only avoid the play-in tournament, but heck, even maybe move up another spot or two from there. But that's not what happened, so we have to deal with reality on this show.
Sure.
And, I feel like it's time to turn the page now. You have another tough game against Denver, and then you get to come home for four games. So that's what we're looking at.
Yes, so I'm excited to get in front of our home fans. That Denver game is going to be tough, and I think when you looked at the schedule in this road stretch, you looked at at Golden State and Denver as the ones where you're going, woof. And so I don't want to say you ever chalk up a loss ahead of time, but it's an unsurprising result, as brutal as it felt. I think what made it feel worse was the fact that we did start off so strong, especially at a place where they never lose, where they bury people early. Right. And the Pelicans have had tough first quarters, tough first halves, and had to dig themselves out. And you saw the Pelicans coming out with that same fire, and you thought, like, here we go. Maybe feeling yourselves hurts when you got to fall down a little bit, but you just sort of felt the slow wave building, just the chipping away, the chipping mm-hmm. away, the chipping away. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think what was maybe discouraging, if that's the right word for it, is the fact that they lost that game after, in the first half, to me, what they showed was exactly what they had showed in the previous five games on the winning streak against lesser competition.
Consistency. To see the carryover consistency is a thing that we hadn't seen for mm-hmm. very much in this team.
To be able to come out and against, once again, for the sixth straight game, you're up double figures after the first quarter, to play, to look exactly the way that you did against Golden State when you had played, you know, some of the teams at the bottom of the standings like San Antonio and Houston.
Right.
To be able to do that against the Warriors, by halftime or so, I was sitting there thinking, like, man, there hasn't been any drop-off from the way that they performed, even though they took a big step up in who they're playing against.
Yes.
And obviously the venue of how great Golden State is at home, they're like a totally different team in Chase Center than they are on the road. So that part was tough, I think, to accept, was just realizing that you look so much like you had for this entire stretch of the last 2 weeks where you're playing elite basketball, mm-hmm. just weren't able to do that in the second half. That was the problem.
And I think the reason it felt like house money is because you didn't expect that sort of fire and maybe in that building, and because it was a back-to-back. You were sort of hoping the Pelicans didn't expend all their energy in the previous game. And then the Warriors themselves are coming off a tough loss. They're extra motivated to win, especially at home. Pelicans back-to-back. I was glad to see them come out hot in that first half, but it didn't necessarily surprise me that they ran out of gas because of the circumstances. You're in a different time zone on a back-to-back, and then you got to go face Denver, which is no easy task. It may be hard to 100% lock in and focus. This isn't the playoffs yet. I know it feels like it is, and I know every game is important. No one's overlooking any other team on the Pelicans, but I just feel like there are things to glean from this loss that you can take going forward and say, you know what, the Pelicans have some consistency. They have an identity now.
Yeah, and we're going to get into this with John DeShazer a little bit here, but to me, I think it was a game that if you play that way against the vast majority of the NBA, it is a win. So unfortunately, we've seen this a million times where the beginning of the third quarter in Chase Center when you're up the way the Pelicans were was so crucial. And Golden State was able to get exactly what they needed, which I think was an 8-0 run in the first minute or so of the third quarter. So at that point, now you're not in a position of, okay, we're up big and we're dominating these guys and they're not getting any. At that point, you're just like kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit, which, I mean, the Pelicans definitely aren't the first team to be in that spot, and they won't be the last. So it was just unfortunate that they weren't able to stop Golden State's momentum.
Yeah.
They still were able to kind of steady themselves a little bit, but then I think late third quarter, again, Golden State goes on a big run, and all of a sudden
the crowd's going crazy. Yeah, they were feasting on the crowd energy. It was just sort of a feeding frenzy at that point. You know, Steve Kerr said after the game, Draymond willed us to victory tonight. I guess the thorn in my paw all night was Mr. Draymond Green. It wasn't just a B.I.'s skin and then Herb's skin he got under. It was my own. I was just shadow boxing in studio all night. And I don't know if you agree with that or not. Do you agree with Coach Kerr that Draymond willed them to victory?
Not really. No. Yeah. I thought that actually after the incident that happened with he and Ingram, the Pelicans actually went on a big run right away. So
I thought it sparked them for a bit.
To say that those two things were correlated, I think, is a little bit misleading. At the same time, I like Steve Kerr. He's always been nice to the media, been friendly.
Knows more about basketball than me, for sure.
But what else is he going to say?
Yeah.
He's not going to be like, Draymond was close to getting ejected once again because he can't control himself.
Right.
And
we wish
the Pelicans took off.
But he didn't.
But luckily, we were able to come back from down 20, even though despite some of the stuff that he did. So, I understand what he's saying. You kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. And if he genuinely believes that, that's his right too. People would say the same thing about the Pelicans if they said something that was super propagandized.
Yes.
So that's fine. But I'm with you on that. It was so frustrating what Draymond did during the game last night. And let me preface this, what I'm about to say, with two things.
Is this a gym rant, by the way?
I'll let you decide. For one, I think the context that a lot of people nationally are missing, if they just parachuted in to watch this game against the between the Pelicans and the Warriors on March, whatever it was, if you didn't see the game on March 3rd, you don't have the context of, we saw Draymond terrorize a bunch of players, try to intimidate players, act like a jerk. He dragged down Billy Hernan Gomez for no reason in the middle
chicken
of the lane.
Winged him.
We're all looking at each other like, what is going on? And I said this in the March 3rd game multiple times. What is he doing? Like, why is he still in the game?
Yeah.
And
a lot of those aren't like basketball plays. Right. He acts like a guy on bath salts on the court half the time.
And the crazy thing is, what he did last night was probably 10 times worse than what he did March 3rd.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't speak for everyone. I mean, a lot of people wanted him ejected.
He threw a kick. He threw a kick.
And I'm saying in the March 3rd game, they wanted him kicked out, and he was way worse last night. The other thing I'll preface this with is, you know, people might say, and of course you're always going to have fans from the other team that jump in and try to explain basketball to you or explain no, this is 90s. This is tough basketball.
Yeah.
But I didn't need this, but it was funny to see just across the board nationally, people that have no stake in the Pelicans versus Warriors, no dog in the fight. There were so many people who were like, get this guy out of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just us saying like, as Pelicans people, yeah,
especially
like
a nationally televised TNT game. I was checking the tweets, and it was funny to watch fans of other teams being like, what is he still doing in there?
Right. And so it was ridiculous. It was just, I'm sitting there stunned, and I'm sure a lot of people saw this. I tweeted that he can't stay in this game, that he has to go. And then 2 minutes later, they go to the replay and they say that there's no additional penalty. I'm like, what does it take to get an additional penalty than based on what he did? So, But I do think that Herb should have been penalized for his back getting in the way of Draymond's foot.
Yeah. I mean,
it was multiple times. How could Herb hit Draymond with his back like that?
I know.
Three or four times on that play. So, for the situation in general too, it reminds me a little bit of how in Major League Baseball, where a pitcher throws at a guy.
Right. And intimidate him.
And the other team retaliates, because basically when you have a situation where Draymond does what he did during the game and does stuff that's out of basketball norms.
Yeah, like the shoulder check to BI.
Yeah, he's NHL checking BI. He's kicking Herb Jones multiple times.
Yeah.
If you're the other team, what's your recourse?
Right.
All you can do is say, hey, officials, get this guy out of the game so that we don't have to retaliate.
Or let one of our guys get away with the same stuff.
You have to protect yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's why I use the baseball analogy. You know, sometimes if a pitcher throws at someone's head, the other team will do the same, because they know if we don't retaliate, he's going to have, it's going to be open season for him to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He wants.
And he gets to redefine the strike zone. That's what they did with fouls all night.
Right. That is my biggest issue, is it's like, if you let a guy do what he does and you don't kick him out of the game, you don't call the technicals when it's warranted, it's open season.
Yeah.
And it's like, as the Pelicans, when B.I. gets shoved out of bounds, he can either walk away and Draymond keeps saying to him, calling him ugly names and saying disgusting stuff that he shouldn't be saying to B.I., he can either walk away and have Draymond keep saying that for the next 2 hours,
right,
or he can get in his face and be like, dude, don't do that again.
Yeah.
I liked seeing that fire from
B.I. I liked seeing him spike the basketball and get in his face and sort of show that, like, we're not going to be just a finesse team you get to bully.
Right.
It almost made me like Dylan Brooks, and I hate to say that out loud, but just watching Draymond, I'm like, maybe Dylan Brooks is right.
It was absolutely garbage. It was ridiculous what he did. And he put the Pelicans, like I said, in a position where they have to respond, or he's going to keep doing that all night. We saw him do that all game on March 3rd.
Yep.
So it's like, there's three questions I have about the Warriors that just astound me.
Yeah.
Okay. One of them is, how does Steph Curry shoot threes the way he does from so far and be so accurate?
Yeah. 39 points last night, by the way.
Why are they so good in the third quarter? It's amazing. And then the third one is, what will it take for Draymond to be ejected in a game against the Pelicans?
Yeah, I feel like Draymond, have you ever seen that that movie, The Last Boy Scout, where the football player's just running down
yes.
the
I know exactly what you do with a gun.
Yeah, feel like Draymond could just do that, and they'd be like, just single tech, just one.
Yeah.
He still wouldn't get thrown out of the game.
No.
It's insane. He could just be running around the court with a lasso, just like whipping people, and they'd be like, that's just his game, man. That's just old school basketball. Right. What are you talking
that's
about?
That's grandfathered in. That's something he's been doing his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, that's just Draymond.
He's been kicking people for 10 years. I mean, we can't tell him to stop now.
What, you can't take a knee to the spine? That's just part of his game. Man, I just, part of what I love about Herb is his cool and his calm, and plus he's from Alabama, just like me. But, like, you know, seeing him just clown Draymond after getting kicked in the head, there's no way I would have been that cool. And let's be honest, the people are like, okay, it may have been accidentally kicked him in the head. These are the most coordinated athletes on the planet.
Yes.
I think they know how to use their legs and feet. Pretty well. Anyway, you know, Herb got kicked in the head, and then he's waiting to make an inbounds play. Draymond's clapping. Really gave off the same energy as that little kid who was trying to guard Zion when he was in high school or whatever. You know, he was really clapping and talking smack, and Herb just kind of looks at the bench. Steve sees Steve Kerr about to sub him out and goes, hey, man, your coach is taking you out of the game.
Yeah, just that was hilarious.
Calm and cool. Mm-hmm. That, I think, to me, almost made up for how bad the end felt, for how good that felt.
I loved Herb's quote after the game, too, where he talked about how he's like, you know, some guys get caught up in all this stuff, other stuff that distracts them from the point of why we're here, which is to try to win the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, could there be two more different philosophies about how to carry yourself during a basketball game than Draymond and Herb? Draymond could be 1 for 8 and have 2 points, and he'll still be screaming into the crowd and screaming at the opposing bench. And Herb is like, Herb could have 50 points in a game. I know he doesn't care about that. Maybe a better stat. He could have 12 steals and 8 blocks, and he still would be like, you know what, I'm going to run back on defense. Oh, there's another team bench here. I didn't even know you guys were here. So
right, yeah,
exactly. It's just polar opposites.
That's why it feels like rooting for the good guys versus the bad guys. Maybe it's the 80s kid in me. I just love the good guys and bad guys stuff. And, man, last night made it easy. You know what? Speaking of the good guys and the yin to the yang to the bad guys, this is Mr. John DeShazer's time because the man is back on the road with the team. So glad to have him back with Graf for these calls. And you know what? It was a weird atmosphere there in San Francisco, but you know, JD weathered it well, and he kept Graf in check as well as he could. So let's get to our color analyst, Mr. John DeShazer.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, could not be more delighted to have him not in the house, which I know sounds weird. We always love having him here, but we are excited that he is now on the road. Our own color analyst, Mr. John DeShazer. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Getting back on the road is an experience. I haven't been on the road since last spring, the playoff series. I might not have done the wisest thing yesterday, leaving, you know, Phoenix owners meetings and going to San Francisco to meet the Pelicans there for that game. And then we're flying overnight to Denver to prepare for Thursday's game. But hey, you know, this is what this part of the job. So I'm glad to have the job, but yeah. You know, so let's get into it.
You sleeping in some sort of isolation pod to adjust to all the time zone differences or something, man? We just want you right because we need you to be the balance to graph.
I'm telling you, I did wake up and not know where I was. So I kind of had to recalibrate. I was like, okay, where am I exactly? And I had to look at the phone, you know, because they got the hotel number. You know, so then I was like, okay, now I got it. I'm good.
Yeah, JD, I mean, we all know that life in the NBA, the back-to-backs are pretty common, but I didn't realize that you pulled off a three cities in two-day thing.
To triangulate.
To go from Phoenix to San Francisco to Denver a little bit over 24 hours? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Superman.
You know, when I looked at it, it didn't look like much. You know, it was like, well, you know, Phoenix isn't that far from San Francisco. And, you know, okay, you know, we'll be leaving after the game. But, you know, it was, you know, a couple hours flight and, you know, it's no biggie. And then when you do it, it's like, you know what, this might not have been smart.
Yeah, so there's a big difference between, like, my fingers on a map and the actual time on a plane. I realize that sometimes way later myself, man. So how are you feeling? I mean, I know you were back in the road. How was the atmosphere last night? I know, you know, the Warriors started a little slow. And, you know, for us, it was a great first quarter, especially the Warriors tend to bury people at home early. And so in that first quarter, I was feeling pretty good, man. I was riding a high, and it seemed to take a while for the fans in the arena to get into the game. It was a slow build, but, man, they were loud at the end. What was the atmosphere like over there actually in game?
Yeah, I had never been. This is my first time going to the Chase Center. Oh, so I hadn't been to the new place. I was accustomed to Oracle, which, you know, is a relic, but was extremely loud, so loud that they thought – you know, that they were accused of pumping in crowd noise. Yeah. And so I had never been to the Chase Center. But, man, it when they get rolling in the Chase Center and they get the momentum going and that crowd is going, it's a tough combination to stop. I mean, they struggled early. But the Pelicans made them struggle early. I mean, the Pelicans played really well in that first half. And I was so impressed that they maintained their poise, that nobody picked up a tee, that nobody got kicked out, that nobody – swung on somebody else that I, you know, I didn't know if they'd be able to maintain it because, you know, it's the NBA, man, 17 point lead. That ain't nothing. I mean, it just isn't. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I hate to say it that way, but I know people say, well, 20 point lead, 17 point lead. This is the NBA. And if you've been paying any attention since the 3-point line has been really dominant in this game, big leads in the first half don't mean nothing. So, I mean, it was just one of those games where, you know, Golden State got it going in the second half and the Pels just couldn't match up to them. I saw a lot of people saying, you know, it was back-to-back and, you know, they ran out of gas. Well, they didn't run out of gas in the first half. I mean, they looked really good in the first half. So, you know, I just chalk it up to Golden State moving up to a championship caliber intensity and the Pelicans not being able to match it on the road.
Yeah, JD, I mean, to your point, I think a lot of times when people talk about the NBA or, you know, leads going away, that you try to put it in the context of basketball overall, but you have to kind of separate the fact that in the NBA they play 48 minutes and there's a 24-second shot clock. You can't compare it to other levels of basketball where, you know, if you lose a 20-point lead in high school, it's like the end of the world. If you lose a 15-point lead in college, it's like, especially with, you know, you watch how low-scoring some of these games are, it's just a totally different animal. I mean, one of the things that you mentioned, though, is, you know, you were impressed by the way that they kept their composure. And obviously, I mean, the first half was one of the best halves that they had of the season to be able to go into Golden State and go up by 20, and then they're still up by 17 at halftime. So, I mean, there were a lot of good stuff. And obviously, they didn't hold the lead, and they ended up losing, and that's kind of the bottom line result of what happened last night. But in terms of, I mean, if we're going to start with some of the good things that happened, I mean, did you feel like it was one of those games where you play that well? You know, obviously you need to get closer to 48 minutes of playing well. But if you play that way, it's going to result in a win most of the time. I feel like it was one of those
against
unique,
other opponents.
Right,
too,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It was one of those unique things. Yeah. Where you're playing Golden State and you know that third quarter surge is probably going to come. But, I mean, overall, what did you think of, you know, some of the stuff that the Pelicans did as a sign going forward over these last six games?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you got to maintain it for 48 or 46, maybe 46 minutes of that kind of play is enough. I thought they held together really well under some stressful conditions in that first half. I mean, Draymond Green did everything he could to get somebody to swing at him. And he couldn't agitate enough to get someone to swing at him. Now, the Pelicans responded appropriately. Brandon Ingram's like, look, you ain't just going to run through me. You could have wrapped me up. You ain't got to do something to try to hurt me. And Herb's like, you committed the foul. You don't have to just drape your leg over me and pretend like you can't move fast enough to get your leg off me. Get off me. So they responded, you know, you don't do that to grown-ass men and expect those guys to just take it.
Yeah.
They're going to respond appropriately, and appropriately was them not getting a technical foul for it. So, you know, I think stuff like that will help them. I think the atmosphere will help them as they go along because, you know, Golden State's 31-8 at home.
Yes.
This ain't their first rodeo. This ain't the first team they've come back on at home and been able to kind of barrage them in the second half. They've made a living doing this, you know, over the last, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years or whatever.
Yep.
So they're accustomed to kind of doing this kind of thing. So I think it kind of hopefully toughens you up for what you're going to see down the stretch because now you know the level that you have to play at. It's harder to do it on the road and maintain it because, you know, as they always say, you know, role players play better on the road. And you get the crowd into the game, and all of a sudden, everybody jumps up a little bit more and plays a little bit harder, and the intensity is different. Because I believe, you know, you play that same game last night in New Orleans, and the Pels are up 17 at home. I think the Pels go ahead and roll on down there and win that game. Mm-hmm. They might not win it by 15 or 20, but I think they win that game. So I think the Pels have some lessons they can take out of that. I thought Brandon Ingram was really, really good in the first half, even though he started slow. But the beauty of the NBA is, as Jim just said, it's a 48-minute game. And so you got time to kind of figure things out. And I thought B.I. figured things out. I thought Trey Murphy gave him a good helping assist. I wasn't crazy about the fact that Jonas got eight shot attempts in that game. I thought he could be utilized a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe the Pelicans kind of said, well, they're going small, so we got to match what they're doing. When, you know, I think, you know, sometimes you got to say, okay, this is what we do, and they're going to have to match what we do. So I think, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
That's the thing. I mean, you saw a lot of Dyson Daniels minutes, and it seems like he's just struggling out there. And sometimes it seems like we're trying to react maybe a little too much with our rotations and our lineups. Do you sort of feel like we need to shrink our rotations and just sort of set our lineups a little more going forward?
Well, it's that time, and you have to be who you are. Now, what are the Pelicans? Are the Pelicans an inside-out team? Are the Pelicans a Brandon Ingram ISO team? You know, what are you? Because now is the time to be exactly what you are. You can't play to other teams' strengths. Golden State started Jonathan Kuminga last night. They went small.
Yeah.
And so Jonas Valanciunas has a distinct advantage over his defender, which is, you know, Kuminga commits a couple of early fouls, and the next thing you know, Kevon Looney's got to come in the game because, you know, the Pelicans are able to take advantage of it. So you play to who you are and force them to adjust to you because you should be able to take advantage in that situation. And unfortunately, you know, and the Pels did that in the first half. They were able to take advantage of that in the first half. And then it gets to the second half, and it just kind of goes a little bit sideways. But, you know, yeah, you might need to shrink the rotation. I mean, we know Larry Nance looked as fresh last night as he's looked
in
a while.
Good.
He looked
healthy.
You know, he looked bouncy. He looked really active and animated. And so that's a good sign to see. But Dyson, I'm just not sure where his confidence level is. And you want to believe it's there, but, you know, you see him do a lot of things, and it's like, you know, Dyson, you got to shoot that. Dyson, you got to be more aggressive there. Dyson, you know, they're begging you defensively to take them, and you'll take the first step, but then you'll try to pass, and everybody's playing for the pass now because they know you don't want to shoot it. And you can't be out there like that because now you're 4-on-5 on offense.
Yeah.
You're 4-on-5 on offense, and that doesn't help you spread the floor, and that doesn't help your offense be fluid if they don't think you're ever going to shoot. So, you know, from that standpoint, he's got to, you know, whatever it is that's going on with his confidence in terms of scoring, he's got to get through that, and hopefully he can get through that wall. But, you know, because otherwise, you know, you're getting into these crucible of games, and, you know, points are at a premium. Yeah, you need stops, but you got to score too.
Yeah, I think one of the things for Dyson, I mean, you watch in a game like that, in the atmosphere like that, you know, good, bad, whatever you want to say. I mean, there's just a lot that's going to come out of a rookie being in the position that he's in. I mean, I feel like this is definitely going to benefit him a ton down the road. But, I mean, it is a lot to handle to try to be in this position, you know, in some of these – in a game like that. But, JD, I mean, kind of big picture, stepping back a little bit. When we look at this road trip, obviously last night didn't end well. But, I mean, they're 2-1 so far on this road trip.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the stretch before that, they won a couple games and have been pretty dominant. I mean, how much differently do you look at, you know, this closing stretch of 6 games? And fortunately, they have a 4-game homestand as well. Based on the way that they're playing or what they've shown on the road trip, maybe compared to how we were looking at things a couple weeks ago.
Man, I think they play well enough to where they should have enough confidence to where they feel like they can beat any of these teams. Now, you're going on that home stretch, and, you know, that back-to-back Sacramento-Memphis is just, you know, vicious. But who knew Sacramento was going to be Sacramento this season? But still, I mean, now you've built up some confidence. You've seen that, okay, we can stop people. We can score on people. And we've been able to do it on the road. Now we should be able to take that home and use the kind of things that Golden State just used. You get back home in the Smoothie King Center, and you're playing that way, and the crowd's going to be electric, and that can carry you. And that's when those role players, that's when, you know, maybe Dyson Daniels does play a little bit more. And I don't want to be too harsh on the young man, because he's playing backup point guard, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in a tough position as a rookie, because you don't have Jose Alvarado, and he's doing a lot of things in terms of playmaking. So he's got a decent amount of responsibility. And, you know, I guess we want to see him grow and develop, you know, and be this guy or that guy. And it takes time in him. Is he still 19? I mean
that birthday did, that birthday too. Game is basically the game where he started his struggles. I don't know if maybe when he flipped from 19 to 20. It's just, you know, you start a new decade. You got a 2 in front of it now, and he's trying to figure himself out. I went through it too, but I wasn't a basketball player. You know, here's the thing, man. We talked about the schedule ahead. We talked about the woes that we're facing. We don't know what's going to happen with Zion. So we're going to kind of leave that out there. Who knows? We hope for the best. But as constructed, this team, it seems like they've started to fix some of their own woes. Trey Murphy starting to fix some of that shooting that we were missing. You know, B.I.'s looking good. C.J. has been consistent. What do you think we need to do as a team, as constructed right now? Let's just leave Zion out of it. For the schedule ahead, how do we weather it? How do we come out of this still looking like a playoff team?
Well, I mean, I think they have good pieces. I mean, this is the same crew basically outside of Jose Alvarado missing that went to the playoffs last year. So they understand, and they've got a recipe. So I think they understand what needs to be done now. You know, they've got to play to a certain intensity level. And I think they played to that level for that 5-game winning streak. I think they played to a pretty high intensity level. It dipped some in the second half on the road against Golden State. But, you know, some of the things, you got to be able to make sure that you can maintain. You know, they're going to have to. And the rebounding was dead even last night.
Yeah.
41 apiece, 11 offensive rebounds. But it didn't look like that.
Right.
Because Golden State got critical offensive rebounds. You know, Kevon Looney won that game last night.
Yeah.
You know, I know Steph had 39, but Kevon Looney won that game last night with a couple offensive rebounds and kickouts, and they end up getting threes off of it. And those are the kind of things that when you know what a guy does, Kevon Looney is, as Graf said, the best offensive rebounder in the NBA, then you got to make sure that you control the best offensive rebounder in the NBA, because when he gets those offensive rebounds and you're kind of scrambled and discombobulated defensively, that's when they get a lot of those wide-open looks, you know, from three. Mm-hmm. So you know what these guys do. You've played them enough. You know what Sacramento does. You know what the Knicks do. You know what Memphis does.
Right.
So you got to be prepared to match up with what they do. And a lot of times in the NBA, it's about this. There's no secrets. Ain't nobody running no plays that nobody's ever seen before. So it's basically, this is our play. This is our guy. Stop him if you can. And your guy has to say, okay, I'm going to beat this guy, and I'm going to score, or I'm going to get it to a teammate who's going to score. I mean, it's kind of elementary like that, because, you know, the fast break opportunities start kind of shrinking up a little bit, and it's hard to get out on the break as much, and those kinds of things. And so now it just comes down to basic flat-out execution, and I thought that, you know, that dissipated some in the second half too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You got to hope that some of that was a little bit of being worn down from that back-to-back as that game wore on. The Warriors, of course, are kings of just coming back in that second half. So let's hope for the best as the Pelicans go forward. JD, so glad to have you back on the broadcast, calming my man Graf, who just seemed like just a shelter dog last night. He needed some petting, some loving, and I'm just glad you were there to keep him tame, man.
You know, I'm gonna have to get him a little Buddha statue or something, or a yes. Yoda statue or something.
Yeah, get him some treats.
Get some, burn some sage and put it on his chair and do those kinds of things. I mean, well, the guy says, hey, he's an acquired taste. He says, hey, either you love him or you don't love him, but once you start liking him, he's addictive. But he gets into it, and right. His moods swing, and that's one of the beauty and some of the beauty of Graf is that he does have those mood swings.
Right. Yeah. Well, you were his Dr. Phil last night, and you did yeoman's work. So we appreciate you keeping him on the even keel. We're just so glad to have you back on the road, just back on all the broadcasts for this home push. And man, let's go, JD.
I'm really glad to be back, and especially glad to be working with this crew, man. I love doing the podcast with you and Jim because, I like talking hoops anyway. And, Jim always, Jim never fails to educate you on something.
Just a delight,
something that you thought you knew, but you didn't know. And he just pops it out there and it's like, oh, I had no idea of that.
Yep.
So, it's always good to be with you guys.
I appreciate that, JD.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. You and Jimmy the Brain Eichenhofer keep me grounded as well. We'll be seeing you soon, talking to you again tomorrow for that big game in Denver. Thanks a ton, JD.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
Huge thanks to Mr. John DeShazer, the light of our lives. So glad to have him back on the road. Jim, I'm feeling better. Still a little upset. My son woke up screeching at 3 a.m. He's 2.5 years old, and I feel like cosmically, he just knew how I felt about Draymond Green. That's why he's my boy.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I would venture to say that if your son was old enough to understand basketball and understand, right or wrong.
Yeah.
He would have been just as disgusted as you and I were by what took place during that game, especially in the end of the second quarter. So I can confidently say that.
Yeah, props to the boy. He knows a little bit of hoops, but, not much. One thing that did make me feel better today is that Draymond Green is going to get fined $5,000 today for that tech if it is not rescinded, which it shouldn't be. I know that's a drop in the bucket to him, but just the idea of his bank account seeing that little minus $5,000, it makes me feel a little better.
It's funny. I heard someone say, I forget where I heard this, but I heard someone say that this was a next level idea that he intentionally was trying to get too technical so that he would be suspended for their next game against the Spurs. Because as everyone knows, the Spurs have been losing to everyone by like 40 points.
Right.
So this was like, this is off. Some serious, nice. I thought that was a hilarious theory. And I'm sure whoever said that wasn't actually, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were joking, but it was funny to think
it's an interesting theory.
Yeah. Cause he definitely did everything he possibly could to get those two technicals, but
yes.
They weren't going to give it to him, apparently.
Yeah, he's throwing a Molotov cocktail at our bench, but, that's just Draymond. As I look at the calendar, it appears to be Wednesday, which can only mean one thing. It means it is...
It is a Western Conference Wednesday, indeed.
Western Conference Wednesday! Jim, I see your big board over there. It is insane. I don't even
think
that's...
Yes, I'm wearing that thing out. Lines everywhere. There's arrows. Yeah, I don't know what happened with the carving thing.
Well, I understand.
Maybe it was just,
we were all frustrated last night.
Yeah.
So, you got to break it down. We got a little help last night. The Hornets helped us out a little bit. So, there's so many consequential games tonight. I am just going to shut the hell up and let you get to it, my friend.
Yes, on the biggest Western Conference Wednesday to date that we've ever had in the history of the
podcast.
That's
saying something.
Let's start with, you mentioned Oklahoma City was upset by the Charlotte Hornets. What has gotten into the Hornets? That's another discussion.
Up.
They are doing amazing work for the rest of the Western Conference.
All of a sudden, that win against them looks pretty good. Maybe weren't beating up on bums, huh?
Right. So now Oklahoma City is in 10th place, but I want to look at really more specifically Dallas in 11th, Utah in 12th for the part of this discussion that is the Pelicans clinching a play-in tournament spot. So Pelicans are one game ahead of Dallas, but it's kind of two because they kind of have the tiebreaker. So there's a small cushion for that. Dallas has a very daunting schedule coming up because they still have three road games on this trip against Philly.
And they just haven't looked good in general.
Right. Yeah, that's usually a problem as well. They got a win against the Pacers, but the Pacers were doing a similar philosophy of roster management as what we saw from Portland, where I think the Pelicans-Portland game was the first time in NBA history that the guy who drove the visiting team bus over from the hotel to the arena also played for the home team in that game. So when the Pelicans got to Moda Center and everyone got out of the bus and the bus driver got out too, the Pelicans were like, said to the bus driver, they're like, what are you doing, man? Where are you going? You got to take us back after the game in the same bus. He's like, no, I got to play. I'll do that, but I'm going to play first for Portland.
Yeah, come on.
But anyways, back to the
blue collar, man.
Back to the Mavericks situation. They have Philadelphia tonight on the road. Then they have Miami and Atlanta on the weekend back to back. That's very tough. So they're going to have to pull off a win or two to try to close the gap, not only on New Orleans, but the other teams that are trying to at least cement a top 10
crowded
status.
West. Yeah.
Utah's 35-40. They are 2.5 games behind the Pelicans. We want to see the Jazz continue to lose because of, as we've said before, tiebreaker, we don't want the Jazz anywhere near the Pelicans, so that comes into play.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're getting closer to being able to say that you're going to be at least no worse than in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect. The second aspect is Pelicans are now 1.5 games behind Golden State, which is in sixth place. That is going to be tougher to overcome. But I do think that if the Pelicans can win, you know, 4 or 5 of their last 6 games, I still think that they have a shot at top 6, and you can avoid your Elfrid Payton hairstyle that you've been talking about.
I almost don't
about.
Want to now, whether we make it or not, but we'll see.
So as far as Wednesday night in this Western Conference Wednesday, there's actually 6 games on the scoreboard.
Yeah, just looking at it, it's unbelievable. Grizz, Suns, Timberwolves, Kings, Trailblazers. Let's hope the Trailblazers come up with a miraculous sort of accidental
Don't seem to be highly invested in that.
I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know.
There's a bunch of games tonight, like you just said. I think Minnesota-Phoenix at 9 o'clock with Kevin Durant supposedly is making his
big
return to the court. And that's another game where someone has to lose, so the Pelicans will gain a half game on one of those two teams. I think probably the game that this is not going to shock anyone, maybe the game that people are the most invested in tonight is Lakers at Chicago at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, who sit right behind us in the West. Anyway, as
and,
we sit 8
and the Bulls, the Bulls just beat them on Sunday, so hopefully the Chicago and Pat Beverly can come back and get more vengeance against the team that got rid of him earlier in the season.
Pat Beverly? I'm rooting for Dylan Brooks and Pat Beverly. What am I becoming?
What's the saying? Like strange
the enemy of my enemy
strange
is
bedfellows
my,
or something? Enemies? I don't even know.
Yeah, look, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I'm that guy.
Right.
So yeah, go go Pat Bev for once.
But yeah, the Lakers have a chance, unfortunately, to move back into a tie with the Pelicans if they win tonight. We know that the Lakers have the tiebreaker, unfortunately, as well. So that would be big for Chicago to win that game, because if that happens, the Pelicans will be no worse than 8th place going into their Thursday game against Denver.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still feel a little manic, but I still feel hope for this upcoming stretch. As you talked about, with some of these teams that are looking better now, some of these wins we had look pretty good now, and then I don't feel any shame about losing to the Warriors. You know, I had to remind myself last night. It took me a while to fall asleep. I had a little cocktail before bed. It's called a sad ball. I had a beer, and then I watched the Warriors game. But then I watched the Trailblazers game. And, you know, that sort of up and down, it sort of makes you feel like, you know, every now and then you got to watch how this team's been operating. Yeah. And one of the high points for me is, first of all, B.I. continuing to just be consistent, to still look good. I mean, that was a tough game. It was very chippy. Still got 26 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. And then, you know, the other big factor that I think has just been huge, and I don't know if it's under-talked about because everyone's been loving him, but Trey Murphy, it just seems like we're watching his emergence in real time when we need it the absolute most. I mean, he has just been shooting the cover off the ball, dunking on people, just showing his versatility. it's just been so great to watch his emergence, and he just seems like he's going to be such a huge factor down the stretch.
Yeah, he didn't have the volume in Tuesday's game against Golden State that he's had in some of the recent games where he had 40-plus against Portland, and then he made 10 threes against the Clippers. But, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you take that every night. You take – he had 21 points. He was 6-for-8 or 6-for-9 from the field. I think he was 4-for-5 on threes. I mean – That's awesome. You get that from that guy. I mean, he's probably not going to shoot 80% from three in every game. I would think that'd be some kind of record.
That's unreasonable to expect.
Yeah. But I mean, the level, like you said, the level that he's been playing at and shooting at on this road trip is through the roof. So once again, great sign. If they get some of those performances like that, they have a chance to finish the regular season really strong, beat some of these really good opponents. And fortunately, in the last six games, I don't want to promise anyone, but I'm hoping that there won't be any body checks of players on opposing or Pelicans players on fast breaks. So let's hope that we can have some clean, fun basketball.
Yes.
And hope for – we just want to play some basketball. That's all.
Yeah, we just want to play a game. You'd see Jonas come up a little hobbled when he got pushed in that game too. Made me a little scared. He was okay, but he was sort of flexing that ankle. I don't want to see anybody messing with our players anymore. Look, I'm glad you're here, by the way. You're a numbers guy. I was not a math dude. So Trey Murphy, have yourself a month. You know what? Here we go, Jim. I am ready for another day. I am ready for another game. Nuggets or nay. I am not afraid. Let's just see what happens. I feel like the Pelicans are finding themselves, and maybe we can surprise some people in this little stretch.
Yeah, you know, certainly you in the situation that they're in where every single game is crucial and you want to try to get as many wins as possible, you don't ideally want to be playing against the number one team in the West that's really good on the home court.
But yeah.
I do think, though, that this is another really good opportunity for the Pelicans. Again, it's on TNT. You can only get a local Pelicans broadcast on the radio, so make sure you do that.
Yeah, right here.
If this is a chance for the Pelicans to, you know, kind of follow up on what they've been doing lately. Obviously, you know, not the second half of the Golden State game, but everything else that they've done lately has been great.
Mm-hmm.
Just to prove the level that they've been playing at lately and back that up. And obviously, if they could, I say you don't want to, on paper, you don't want to be playing at Denver, but man, if they get this win, what a huge springboard that is.
I mean, how would you feel? You know, that would continue the seesaw of savagery, how it's just the crazy highs and lows. But, you know, here we go. Look, according to opponent winning percentage, the Pels have the league's hardest schedule remaining. And that seems daunting. But remember when they said we had the easiest schedule and that sort of seemed off? Who knows what can happen? So let's just roll the dice and hope the Pelicans can make some hay. Jimothy, thanks for walking me through this today. I was having a tough one, sort of just laying on the floor, staring at the ceiling. And then Jim came over, knocked like, hey, man, you want to do a podcast? I was like, sure. And, you know, I think it helped.
Yeah, that's exactly how it unfolded.
Is it Wednesday?
It's not like we have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule or anything. Yeah. It's it's amazing how coincidentally it always ends up being Monday,
Wednesday,
Friday.
It's odd.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the last few games. I mean, this is what you want. You want to have the chance to win games and improve your position in the playoff seedings and the ladder.
Something. What's more fun than that?
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, I'm sure we'll get into this on Friday's show, but I mean, I think this homestand is going to be awesome because of the competition that you're going against and just what's at stake. I feel like this is going to be, maybe setting aside the Phoenix December series, this is probably going to be the closest that we see back to playoff atmosphere in the Smoothie King Center without it actually being the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So get out there. Get loud. Let's see you dressed crazy. I want it to be a raucous atmosphere. Let's terrorize these teams as they come to our house. Jim, thanks as always, and thank you for listening to the Pelicans Podcast. We are everywhere you listen to podcasts, everywhere iHeart Podcasts are, Spotify, iTunes, and the Pelicans will have a watch party for that Thursday game. Go on over to Wrong Iron. The Pelicans watch party on Thursday should be a blast, and let's hope for a Pelicans win. We will see, and we will talk to you once again, coincidentally, on Friday, probably. And until then, go Pels.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279. Or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.